We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
What kind of what are your favorite dances? How many of you have done the twist? Have you done the twist? Yeah? Anyone? Okay. Has anybody done the hustle? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah? Right? Right. We probably have some country fans in here. I mean, how many of you either have done the Cotton Eye Joe? Yeah? Oh, yeah? Or two-step? Right? Okay. You know, probably you need to get some new, like, what about the whip and the nay-nay? Yeah? Yeah? We got a few people who are flossers in here. Anybody doing the floss? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? The stick dance? Now, is that the... Chicken dance. Oh, the chicken dance. Yes. That's got to be a favorite, right? YMCA, you can do that one too, right? The Macarena. Yes, always a good choice. That was always fashionable until Al Gore did that one, and that one kind of went downhill after he did that. So I have to say my favorite dance is the waltz. It's a beautiful dance. Not every song can be danced to with a waltz. It's in three-quarter time, three-four time, and only certain songs can do it. And on January 4th, 2003, I waltzed with my partner for life. We stood in the church. We made vows to love and cherish one another till death do us part. And then we had a party. It was a great party. And our first dance was Could I Have This Dance? It was made popular by Anne Murray, and if you've heard the song, it is a waltz. And we chose it because it was a waltz, and that was our favorite dance. And the chorus goes like this: Could I have this dance for the rest of my life? Would you be my partner every night? When we're together, it feels so right. Could I have this dance for the rest of my life? You know, the scripture today is a prayer of Jesus. And as I read this prayer of Jesus, it made me think of this song. I made that commitment to Allison over 16 years ago, and through many, many prayers and much love, we are still dancing today. And I think in many ways our spiritual life with Jesus is much like a dance. We are trying to be close and trying to walk and dance and echo each other's steps, and be close to each other, be unified in the way we live our lives with Jesus. And as we look at our scripture, Jesus is ending his ministry and about to be at the end of his life. And in the Gospel of John, the last thing he does before his betrayal and his arrest is to pray. He offers a deep and heartfelt prayer, not for himself, but for his disciples. And part of that prayer we read this morning. But not only does he pray for his disciples, but he prays for all who will believe in him through their word. Which means that not only does Jesus pray for his disciples, but he prays for us. He prays for you and me. And before his death, Jesus isn't concerned about his own safety. He's not concerned about his own ministry. But instead, he takes time to pray for his disciples and those whom they will influence. For the future of the church, that is his concern in his last hours. Jesus prayed for you and for me. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that for a while, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Because Jesus prayed for me. And I have a much more comfortable time when I come up here and I light a candle for somebody else. Or when I write a name on the prayer wall, that's somebody else's name. Okay, or maybe even I need to write my own prayer for me, or I need to light a candle for me. But when someone else is praying for me, it's a little bit disconcerting. It's a little uncomfortable because I have to be vulnerable enough to recognize that I need prayer too. To recognize that I have to share those things that concern me, that those things that are keeping me from dancing perfectly with Jesus. But Jesus prays for us. He prays for us because he knows that we need it. And just like any of you who have experienced the prayers of others, it is a mysterious experience. Because we know that God is not Santa. God is not some heavenly mechanic that is going to fix all of our problems when we pray for them. But instead, we need not only our own prayers, but the prayers of other people. Because it's an opportunity. It is an opportunity for us to be bathed in the richness of love, of God's divine presence, and recognize our common place of need. Because the reality is, you need prayer, and I need prayer. And when we share in that need together, we become dependent upon God and upon each other. So in this pinnacle of the ministry of Jesus, toward the end of his life, what does Jesus pray for his disciples? What is the last thing Jesus wants for his disciples and for us to know before he leaves? First, he prays for belief. And not belief that we might consent. We might say, yes, Jesus is Lord. We might understand and acknowledge that Jesus is the way. But that we might be one with God. This is how he puts it. He says, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. So he's saying, as close as God is to Jesus, that's how close I want you to be with me. As close to God is with Jesus, that's how close Jesus wants to be with us. Now this is the part where I say, whoa, Jesus, give me a little personal space. Okay? But Jesus wants to be one. So close that Jesus is in our head and in our hearts and in our actions. Jesus is asking, could I have this dance for the rest of your life? Because I think that indwelling of Jesus in our life is much like a dance. It is holding Jesus so close that your steps are his steps. It is artful. It's creative. It is mysterious. And it has rhythm. Because our steps, our actions, our hearts, our minds are intertwined in such a way that they reflect each other. So next, Jesus prays that any glory that he has given might be given over to his disciples. Now, we have to pause for just a minute because I think we need to talk about glory and what it really means. That's a really churchy word, glory. And what do we really mean by the word glory? And I think in the English language, we can oftentimes relate it with fame or fortune. You have the glory of your achievement or winning some prize. Sometimes we might think about appearance, where it's really bright or brilliant. But in the Greek form of this word, it is a term of worth or value. And that's really the essence of its meaning in the Greek. And so Jesus is saying that whatever value God places on Jesus, give that value to my disciples. So Jesus is saying that God should value his disciples just as much as Jesus. This is pretty powerful stuff. You know, at the end of every service, when Marty says that you are the best of the best of the best, and that's how Jesus sees us, well, that's what Jesus is saying right here. He is saying the same way that God sees Jesus, that's how God sees us. The best of the best of the best. We have infinite value, each and every one of us. Then Jesus prays that we might know love. Not the feeling of love or love that is romantic or fleeting, but that we might know love in the same way that God loves Jesus. A sacrificial love, a divine love, love that is forever, love that's irrevocable, that's unconditional. It is the love of God for his one and only Son. And Jesus says it is ours to have and to hold. Man, Jesus is just ratcheting it up again and again and again, on and on and on in this prayer. He's like Oprah. He's like, you're the best, and you're the best, and you're the best, and you have love, and you have love, and you have love. He's kind of like Ellen, too. Let's dance. Let's dance. Throughout the prayer, Jesus wants us to know that he wants to dance with us. And he wants us to be so close that his steps are our steps. And he wants us to know that we are the best of the best of the best, and we are so loved by God. But all of this prayer, all of these gifts that he is offering of God's love and devotion and commitment are for one reason. And this one reason is so that we might become one, so that we might be unified together. It's all throughout the prayer. Jesus says, I want them to be one with God so that they might be one with another. I want them to have all of the glory so that they might be one. And I want them to know all love so they might be together. So that when the world sees this group of people, because of their love, because of their closeness with God, and because of their glory, they might see what being a Christian is all about. More than anything, Jesus wants unity. He wants togetherness. He wants us to be one. So let's look through history. How did we do since Jesus' prayer? How do we grade ourselves? Are we doing a good job? Are we one? Can we agree on anything? How did we mess this up? The discord among the disciples begins almost immediately. They deny Jesus. And then when they get back together after his resurrection, they can't even agree on what to do with the Gentile followers in the book of Acts. The history of Christianity is filled with schisms, splits, heresies, divisions. We have lots of words for breaking apart. Some are nice and some are not so nice. We've created wars. But let's be real, unity is hard work. Jesus' prayer for the disciples and for us is heartfelt because he knew that the barriers between unity and division would be great. So do you think we could turn back the clock? Do you think we could fulfill Jesus' prayer for his disciples? Is it even possible to take all of the discord and all of this time away and find some unity? What about our culture? I mean, we have seemed to make a sport of taking sides and vilifying other people. There are whole television shows that are just pitting one person against another, and they scream at each other the entire time. They get great ratings. It makes for compelling entertainment. You know, I would say there are signs of hope that we can come together, that there are areas where we can agree, where the best in us shines out. I think about the outpouring of love and support that so many of us received in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. Think about how our communities, this city, our state, our nation, all came together to support us in the midst of horrific flooding. Because, you know, the storm wasn't political. It wasn't ideological. It didn't take status or power into account when it devastated communities. The whole city needed help. And our ability to come together, to reach out, and to help one another was remarkable. J.J. Watt himself raised over $37 million for relief because he sent an Instagram post and said, "I'm donating from Dallas," to his followers saying, "I'm going to donate $100,000. Can you all match it and try to get $200,000 for Hurricane Harvey relief?" And over $37 million poured in. Churches around the area, just like this one, including this one, opened their doors to families affected by flooding. Let people live there. Businesses opened their doors. Said, "Come stay if you don't have a place to stay." And after the floodwaters receded, that's when the work really started. Countless church groups from around the country came in and gutted houses to help remove mildew, to help rebuild, and are still doing it today. Unity is possible. You know, I also think about many of us who've faced a health crisis. Sometimes it just takes a diagnosis and a call to the church to get the meal train started, to get the prayers coming in, and visits from a pastor. When someone is in need of our help when they're sick, at times we are the echo of Jesus. We know how to respond in a way that doctors and nurses, although we need them desperately, we as a church are able to surround people with a community that can help in so many ways. And for those of you who have had an illness and seen the church respond, you know what I mean. We have a unity of purpose when it comes to helping those who are sick, because we know there is nothing you have done to deserve it. But you know that the community around you supports you. But we all know that Jesus doesn't just call us to have unity in natural disasters or in sickness. Too often Jesus invites us to dance, invites us to be close to him and walk step by step with him. But instead of letting Jesus take the lead, we take over and say, "Jesus, we're not waltzing. I'm going to do some other dance because that's what I want to do." And have you ever tried to dance with someone when you're both trying to take the lead? It's a mess. a giant mess. You stumble all over each other. And that's what happens when we try to take the lead from Jesus. It takes us putting our ego aside and seeing others with the eyes of Jesus. Because when we hear the prayer of Jesus, we hear that we are the best of the best of the best. But we also have to recognize that that means that every other person in the room is the best of the best of the best too. And that we are loved, but everyone else is loved too. And when we walk and when we dance with Jesus, we see everyone that way too. And it's not always easy. Jesus gives us the gifts of seeing. And when we embrace it, we can't help but recognize that the gifts he prays for are for everyone. To have unity, we have to trust that Jesus is working in all of us. And all of us are welcome to join the great journey of faith. Jesus sacrificed his very life. And before he sacrificed his life, he prayed that we might receive the gift of belief, of glory, and of love. Because he knew that if we truly embraced those gifts, if we received them and made them one in our lives, it was possible to claim unity. To dance with Jesus, to accept our value, and to receive God's love. It begins with following the lead of Jesus, being vulnerable enough to pray for others and receive their prayers. Because Jesus is asking us to join him in the dance of faith. He's reaching out, he's asking, could I have this dance for the rest of your life? Will you be my partner every night? Because when we're together, it feels so right. Could I have this dance for the rest of my life? That is his solemn prayer.
And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do. Nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.